Today's shiur is Masechta Sota, Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav of an Aleph, the top line, Bo Re'ei. Says the Gemara, Bo Re'ei, Kavanisim Nasu Baisiyoyim. So many different miracles happened the day that Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, passed through the Yarden, and the Brisa enumerates them. Of Yisrael is the Yarden, Klal Yisrael passed the Yarden, and as we learned earlier, with the tremendous nais of the waters parting, Ubal Har Grizim al Har Evel Yosim Sheshimil, and they traveled to Har Grizim and Har Evel a distance longer than 60 mil. Ben Kaberi Yechoy Olam Vifnehem. No one was able to stand up against Klal Yisrael. We call Oymed Vifnehem. Whoever attempted to stand up against Klal Yisrael Miyad Nitras. He lost control of his bodily functions. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, as a mosai shalach lefanecha, v'amoisi es kol ha'am ashtov b'hem. I send the fear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them, everybody, to be fearful of Klal Yisrael. V'omer, in the pasuk says, tipa aleihem amosu v'fachad. And the Mefarshim point out, if there was such a tremendous fear, how did anybody come close that he should become Nitras? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that there are always going to be people who will stand out and be different. All the members of the Umay Olam were indeed fearful of Klal Yisrael, but there were some people who did stand up against Klal Yisrael. What the Gemara says is, Miyad Nitras, what they did stand up against Klal Yisrael, they immediately lost control of their bodily functions. Another pshat that I saw is that typically when someone is afraid of someone else, the fear dissipates. Here, the Umos HaOlam were in fear of Klal Yisrael, but that fear did not dissipate. On the contrary, as Klal Yisrael came closer, their fear again came on them to the degree that Nitras. The pasuk says, we say it in the Shira every day, Adyavar Amcha Hashem, says the Gemara, that refers to Bir Rishona, the first time Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua. Avar Amzu Knisa, so Bir Shnia, this refers to the second time Klal Yisrael, after receiving permission from Kairish, were led into Eretz Yisrael by Ezra. Ema Me'ata, says the Brisa, if the Pasuk is putting together the Bia Rishona and the Bia Shnia, it ought to be that Ruin HaYisrael Lasis Lem Neis B'Bia Shnia, miracles should have happened to Klal Yisrael as they entered Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra to Bia Rishona, as tremendous miracles, as we've been learning, happened to them as they entered Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua. Ashagar Machet, because they sinned, they did not have those miracles. They only entered under the permission, with the permission of Kairish, certainly diminishing the miracle. What avera did they have? Some of Farshim explained that their avera was that they had married non-Jewish women, and others say that the avera was that not all of Klal Yisrael, as the Gemara says, Masechta the Kedushin, entered Eretz Yisrael at that time. The Mefarshim point out that if our Gemara is teaching us that the Pasuk teaches us that Bia Shnia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them that when they enter Israel this time, it will be also under tremendous miracles as when they came in the first time, why didn't that happen? We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something good to Klal Yisrael, he doesn't retract. Here we find that he retracted. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz that I saw is that it wasn't that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was taken away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did bring them into Eretz Yisrael the second time. It just wasn't with the same state of miracles that they could have had. But it isn't that he retracted. Another pshat is that when the Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he'll do something good, he doesn't change his mind, it means that he doesn't do bad instead of doing good. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he, if he doesn't feel the circumstances are necessary, he may not do the good either. And the third pshat that I saw is that this only, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind, is only when the message was said directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. But if the message is given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu, who, as he said the Shira, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not necessarily say the Shira verbatim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is not considered a situation that's considered HaKadosh Baruch Hu is retracting. There's a Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam holds that Kitchel is showing a Kitchel Shato, a Kitchel is a Lovai. That when Shlomo HaMelech sanctified the Beis HaMikdash and the Azorus, that remains a permanent Kedusha. Whereas the Ravid holds that it was only temporary. And the Mefarshim tried to understand the opinion of the Ravid. For according to the Ravid, why didn't Shlomo HaMelech permanently be Mekadosh the Beis HaMikdash and the Azorus? So I saw that the Klausenberg Rebbe explains that Shlomo HaMelech was aware of our Gemara, which our Gemara says that we're going to be two bias, as the Gemara explains our the Pasuk will be a Rishonah, so will be a Shnia. And since they were going to be two bias, Shlomo HaMelech obviously knew that this will, structure that he's building will not be a permanent structure. And that's why he was only Mekadosh at Shata of Lekitcha Lasod Lovai. The Gemara continues mentioning what happened that day. Says the Gemara, Vakach Hivius Avonim. Afterwards they brought stones, Uvonas and Mizbeach, and they built a Mizbeach, Vesadua Besid, and they plastered, they put plaster on those stones. The Mefarshim asked that in our previous shiur, the Masha asks, in our previous shiur, we had a machloikas of Yehuda and of Shimon. What happened first? According to Shimon, they first put on plaster on the stones, and then they inscribed the Torah on top of the plaster. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda held that they first inscribed on the stones the Divrei Torah, and only afterwards that they put on a layer of plaster. Asked the Masha, that why doesn't the Gemara bring a proof from this Braisa to the opinion of Rav Shimon? Because the Braisa clearly says, V'sadu b'sid, that they first put on plaster, and only after putting on the plaster did they write the Divrei Torah. Answers the Masha, that even according to Yehuda, that they put plaster on the stones after writing the Divrei Torah, Reb Yehuda agrees that they smoothed and prepared the stones that it should be, that they should be able to write on them. And that's what the Gemara refers to here, that they put on this plaster to cover up any cracks or such, which Reb Yehuda doesn't disagree on. The Kosev Aleim, and they wrote on the stones, as Kol Divrei Torah B'Shivim Loshem, they wrote the Divrei Torah in 70 languages, Shnemar Ba'er Hativ, and as the Mefarshim explained, the lesson of writing the Divrei Torah 70 languages was to teach us that no matter what situation Klal Yisrael will be in, they should always learn Torah, even if they live in countries where they don't speak the language, Lashon HaKodesh, that doesn't absolve them, exempt them from learning Divrei Torah. V'helu oilas v'shlamim, and they brought kabanos, v'ochlu v'shasu v'samchu, and they ate and they drank and they were happy, v'berch v'klolu, and they went through the brachs and klolos, which we will discuss, v'kiplu v'savonim, and then they dismantled those stones, uvov v'lonu v'gilgal, and they went and they spent the night in Gilgal, shenemar v'avartem oisem oisom imochem, v'nachtem oisem imolim, they should be left in their lodging place. And as we learned previously in our parak, Yochav Chamolam Molon, we would think that the Pasuk allows them to leave those stones in any lodging place that they should so choose. Tamaloimer Ashatilinu Bahalaila, the lodging place where they remained that night. Viksiv Veshtem Esre Havonim Elu Ashalachu, they put in Gilgal, because Gilgal was the place that they remained that night. Says the Gemara, Tana, the Pasuk speaks about the tzira. The tzira is an insect that has a venom in it, that could severely wound whoever is injected with that venom. The pasuk says, "V'shalachti tzitzira lifonecha, v'gersha tzachivi asaknani v'sachiti mufanecha." Tana, tzira le'avri imam, the tzira did not pass the yardein together with Klal Yisrael. V'loy, ask the Gemara, is that true that the tzira did not enter Eretz Yisrael with them? V'ksiv v'shalachti tzitzira lifonecha, that the Kananim will be affected by the tzira. Answers the Gemara, Amram Shim Belokish, Afas Yardin Omda, the tzira stood on the side of the Yardin, Vizak Bemara, and it threw over its venom into the people on the other side of the Yardin, into the Kananim. The Simsa Ineim Elmala, and it caused them to become blind, Visirsa Melmatam, and sterile. Shnemar, Vanoichi Nishparati Tzamari Ripneim, Ashigava Roz and Gavoy, Vachosnu Kalonim, he considers them strong and tall. Veshmid Pari Mamal Vishrosh Matakas. Why, says the Chafetz Chaim, did the Tzira, why were the Kananim, did they receive this punishment? Says the Chafetz Chaim, as we learned, Kanan is the son of Chum, and Chum was the person who saw his father's erva, and that's why he deserved to become blind, and he was also the one that was Mesares that caused his father to become sterile, and therefore his descendants many generations later got this punishment. And in fact, I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, when he said over this verse from the Chafetz Chaim, says, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes descendants that are many generations later for the sins of their forefathers. The question also is, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to this pshat, just send along Tzira and Eretz Yisrael? Why did it have to be that the Tzira stood on one side of the Yardin and just shot its venom over? One pshat is because it wanted, because of Kedushas Haaretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want this terrible insect to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is that the Tzira had worked, so to speak, under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not entering into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, anybody or anything associated with Moshe Rabbeinu cannot enter Eretz Yisrael either. And that's why the Tzira remained on the other side of the Yarden. Rapapa says, Shtei Tziras Havoy. There were actually two Tziras. Chad the Moshe, v'chad the Yeshua. One was Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzira that had inflicted wounds on the people of the Eivah HaYarden, and the other was Yeshua. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzira, loy over, did not pass over the Yarden. The Yeshua's Avar, did pass over the Yarden. And the Yaakov explains, why couldn't Yeshua use Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzira? Because the pasuk says, "Hayoyim hazeh ochel gadlcha b'nei kol Yisrael ashiyedun kesheyisi Moshe eimach." They want HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to establish Yeshua's firm leadership, and if he would have to rely on Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzira again, it would not prove his own independent leadership. So the Mishnah taught us about the Har Gerizim and the Har Eivol, where on the different Shvatim stood on Har Gerizim and Har Eivol and said Brachas V'Klolas. And the Pasuk in Yeshua says, V'chal Yisrael V'zekeno V'shoitrim V'shoiftov Oim D'mezeh Mezeh La'oran Negra Kahanim Halavim Noise Oran Bris Hashem Kiger Ke'ezrach Chetz Yoyah Mol Har Gerizim, half on Har Gerizim V'chetz Yoyah Mol Har Eivol, and the other half on Har Eivol. And the Gemara focuses, when the pasuk speaks about the second half of the Shvatim that were on the Har Eivol, the pasuk says v'hachetzyoy, with the letter hey before it. And the Gemara wants to understand, what does that hey come to teach us? My v'hachetzyoy. Om Rav Kahana, says Rav Kahana, what it comes to teach us is k'derech shechalukim kan, in the same division that we have of Shvatim between Har Grizim and Har Evil, so too Kach Halukim Avnei Eifed. We know on the Eifed, on the shoulder plate, on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol who wore the Eifed, he wore two stones, the Avnei Shoyam, which between the two of them, all of the names of the Shvatim were inscribed. And the Gemara is saying, Rav Kahana is saying, the exact same division we find between Har Gerizim and Har Evil is the division between the two Avnei Shoyim, which means, according to Rav Kahana, as the Pasuk says, that in Har Gerizim there was Shimon Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. On Har Evil there was Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. That was the same division on the Avnei Shoyim. Meisvei asked the Gemara, is that opinion possibly true? The Braisa says, Shtei Avonim Toivus Hoyleil Kohen Gadol Ksefav. The Kohen Gadol wore these two Avnei Shoyim on his shoulders. Achas Mikan, one stone on one shoulder, Vachs Mikan and the other stone on the other shoulder. Ushmoy Shneim also Shvatim Kosov Aleim, and the names of the 12 Shvatim were inscribed on Avnei Shoyim. Shishim Eleven Zu, Veshisha Eleven Zu, six on one stone and six on the other stone. Shenemar, Shisha Mishmoisim Eleven Achas, six on one Evan, Veshmoy Shisha and the Sorim, Veshmoy Shisha and the Sorim, Ala Evan Ashenis Kusal Doisom. Shnia, the second stone, had them Kusal Doisom. They were exactly in the order of their birth, Vilari Shoyne Kusal Doisom, but not the first stone, because the first stone says when they Yehuda Mugdam, meaning as follows: according to the Tanakhama, the first stone had Reuven, Shimon, Levi. It should have had Yehuda fourth, but Yehuda, because of his position of prominence, was first. So therefore, we had Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Don, Naphtali, and the second stone had God, Ashi, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. The Chamishim Oisus Hayu. Total of all the letters involved in writing the names of the Shvatim were 50 letters. Esrim Chamesh Eleven Zu, Esrim Chamesh Eleven Zu, 25 in each stone. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees, and he says the way they were divided was as follows: not in the order that in the seam are mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu counts Klal Yisrael and has the Nesim stand with him, not in that order were they listed on the Avnei Shoyim, Ela Kederach Shechalukim Mechumash Sheni, as they are listed in Parshas Shemais. Ketzet, what does that mean? B'nei Leah Kesidra, the first stone had the six children of Leah in the order of their birth: Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. B'nai Rachel, in the second stone, we had the B'nai Rachel, were one at the beginning and one at the end. Binyamin appeared on top of the list. Yosef appeared on the bottom. Or B'nai Shvachos, Don, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, Bemtzah. So you had Binyamin on the top, then you had the four children of the Shvachos, and then you had Yosef. Ask the Gemara, Vel my enemy came to sell doisom. The Pasuk says that they listed the way they were born, but according to this opinion, they are not listed in the order of their birth. Says the Gemara, what the word kesol doisom means, kishmoisim shikar le'naviyim, they're listed, the names are written the way that their father mentioned their names, v'loy kishem shikar le'moshe, not the way Moshe Rabbeinu called them, meaning the Pasuk said Reuven v'loy Reuveni, Shimon v'loy Shimoni, Don v'loy Hadoni, and God v'loy Kahan Agadi. And says the Gemara, whether we follow the opinion of the Tanakhama, whether we follow the opinion of Chanina Megamliel, it's Tiyufta Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana's opinion is not the same, because the Pasuk clearly indicates how the Shvata were divided between Har Gerizim and Har Evil, and it doesn't reflect not the opinion of Tanakhama nor the opinion of Rav Gamliel. Says the Gemara, indeed, Tiyufta, the opinion of Rav Kahana is refuted. Ask the Gemara, if so, we go back to the beginning. The Pasuk, in describing the Shvatim, the stood on Har Gerizim and Har Evil, uses the words Ha Chetzyoy Velamai Va Ha Chetzyoy. What are we going to learn from the word Ha Chetzyoy? Tana Chetzyoy Shemul Har Gerizim. the half of the Shvatim that were by Hagrizim, and it is Meruba Mechetzia Shel Har Evil, were more than the half that were on Har Evil. Mevnei Shalevi Lamata, because Levi, who was one of the Shvatim on Har Grizim, really didn't stand on top of Har Grizim, as we learned and will learn. Levi was the Sheva that actually pronounced the Brachos for Klalos, and they didn't stand on top of the mountain, they rather stood on the bottom between the two mountains. Ask the Gemara Adrabba, if that's what happened, Neshalevi Lamata Batzulu, if Levi is one of the Shvatim that was supposed to stand on top of Har Grizim, and Levi is not standing there, so that means the total amount of people that are on Har Gerizim are diminished. So why are we saying that Har Gerizim had more? Answers the Gemara, Hachkam. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Afa Pisha Levi Lamata. Even though Levi, who was one of the Shvatim that was standing on Har Gerizim, quite a number of the members of Shevet Levi didn't go on the mountain. Rather, they stood between the mountains. Still, Har Gerizim had the greater number of people. Why? Because B'nai Yosef Imoim, Shevet Menashe, Shevet Yosef was with them, and that's why they had the greater amount of people. And as Mepharshim point out, the Inyaka points out, because Har Gerizim is the mountain that represents Bracha, so that's why there were more people on Har Gerizim where the bracha was given. Because Shevet Menashe was a Shevet that had a population growth. We find that they grew in number by 25,000. And as the Pasuk says in Yeshua, V'yedaber b'nei Yosef as Yeshua Lamer, the people of Shevet Yosef approach Yeshua telling him, Madon nesateli nachal garlech v'chevel echot, you gave us one portion, v'ani amrav, and we are very large, we just experienced this population growth. As the Mepharshim explained, Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, those that left Mitzrayim. And when they left Mitzrayim, they were not as much of a group as they were by the time they entered Yeshua. But Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the old census. And here they approach Yeshua that they have a problem, that they don't have enough land allocated to them. V'yomalem Yeshua, so Yeshua tells them, Im am rav ata, if you are indeed a large nation, alei lecha hayora, go into the forest. So Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, says the Mashah, is that he was telling them, inhabit the forest area of your portion, destroy the forest and build cities and homes. But that can't be Pasha Pshat, says the Mashah, because for that they don't have to approach Yeshua. It's obvious that they have that option. It must be that he was telling them something else. Amlehem, l'chu v'atzpiu atzman b'yorim. Go and hide in the forest. Shleitishlubem ayin hara, that the ayin hara should not have an effect on you. We know that there is a concept of an ayin hara. Some of Farshim explained that there is a power in the eye to cause problems with certain people have that ability with their ayin. The Chazon Ish explains that this comes from the power of one's mind, which transcends any physical boundaries. Another pshat that I saw from the Michtav Meliyahu is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person bracha, the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him a bracha is that he should only cause blessing. But if somebody's bracha causes tsar, causes pain to someone else, that isn't a bracha that he will hold on to. If someone is blessed and he causes that other people should feel bad because they don't have what he has, that could cause an ayin hara that he should lose his bracha. So Yeshua was saying to Shevet Menashe, if Baruch Hashem, you have experienced this ribui that you have grown, stay low key, that you should not be affected by ayin hara. Amlei, so they told him, Zara the Yosef, we are descendants of Yosef. The descendants of Yosef do not have to be concerned about Ayin Hara. The Ksiv Ben Pyrus Yosef, Ben Pyrus Ali Ayin, Vamravua, Atikri Ali Ayin, Ela Oile Ayin. Shevet Yosef transcends and has nothing to fear of for the Ayin Hara. Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Mahocha. How do we know that Shevet Yosef, Menashe, Ephraim do not have to be concerned with the Ayin Hara? Because the pasuk says regarding them, "V'yidgu l'roiv b'karef ha'oritz, ma dagim shebiyam, ma'im mechas malayim." Just like the fish in the sea are covered by the water, ven ayin shalatas b'em, and therefore they cannot be affected by the eye. Afzar sheyosef ein ayin shalatas b'em, they can't be affected by ayin hara. Although Mefarshim asked the obvious question, Sefer Torah Chaim asked this question. Just because fish are in the sea, that doesn't mean that they can't be seen. Sometimes the water is transparent, and we can't see the fish. Answer the Taras Chaim, that even if we can see the fish, if the fish is covered, if there's something interfering between the eye and the object that's being seen, it cannot be affected by Ayin Hara. The Mefarshim also discussed that Ayin Hara, Al-Gemar is saying, that the members of Shevet Yosef do not have to be concerned with Ayin Hara. It's not limited to the members of Shevet Yosef. The Gemara speaks about in Masechta Brachos, about Rabbi Yochanan sitting by the door of the mikveh and saying that he doesn't have to worry about Ayin Hara. People can look at him and he won't be affected by Ayin Hara. Anyone who connects himself to Shevet Yosef is saved from Ayin Hara. However, the Paiskim do point out that an Ayin Hara is something that has to be reckoned with. In the Halacha, when the Halacha speaks about Ayin Hara, we have to take that very much into consideration. For example, the Halacha is that a father and a son, or two brothers, should not get aliyas one after the other because of an Ayin Hara. And the Halacha is that even if these people are Meichon, they say that they're not concerned with Ayin Hara, it doesn't make a difference. We have to be concerned with Ayin Hara. The Braisa said that the total count of the amount of letters of the Shvatim were 50, which were divided between the two stones. Ask the Gemara if you actually count the amount of letters between the names of the Shvatim, Hani Chamishim Ha'ishis, there aren't 50, Chamishim Nechi Chodehavyon, there are only 49. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Yosef, Yosef Ha'yosif Eloi Ois Achas. One more letter was added to the name of Yosef, we'll see soon when, Shenemar, Edis B'Yosef, Somai B'Tseis El Eretz Mitzrayim. The Yosef's name was changed to Yehoi Yosef. Maskla Rav Nachma Yitzchak, asks Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kisal Doysim Binam, we've been using the word Kisal Doysim, that the names that they got when they were born. Yosef's name, that the hay was added, only happened much later. Answers the Gemara, Elokal HaTorah Kula Binyamin Ksiv. In the entire Torah, Binyamin's name is spelled only with one yud. V'hacha, but here in the Avnei Shoyam, Binyamin Shalem, Binyamin is spelled with two yuds. Kriksiv, because that was the way Binyamin's name was given when Yaakov Avinu gave him his name. For Aviv, Karolai Binyamin. Why Binyamin with two yuds? Because Ben Yamini, either because he was born in the south of Eretz Yisrael, which is called the Yamin side, or because he was born when Yaakov Avinu was already old, but he was strong in his Avodas Hashem and his Yiras Shemayim, and that's why he called him Binyamin. But usually, Binyamin is in fact spelled with one yud. Only in the Avnei Shoyim, we were following the way his name is spelled when Yaakov Avinu gave him the name, that's when it's spelled with two yuds. And in fact, the halacha is that if somebody is writing a get or a ksuba or any other document, the name Binyamin should be spelled with one yud only. Amrav Chana Babizna, Amrav Shemech Sida. Yosef. Shekidesh Shem Shemayim B'Seisa, Yosef, who is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim privately, as we will soon see when, Hosif Eloi Ois Achas Mishmai Shekadesh Baruch Hu. One letter was added to his name. Yehuda, on the other hand, Shekidesh Shem Shemayim Mefresya, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shem Mitzvah Shem, that Yehuda Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was from Shevet Yehuda, was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim by jumping into the Yamsuf first, into Kriyas Yamsuf first. Nikra Kula Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire name Yehuda represents the Shem Hashem. Says the Rambam, from here we see that the concept of Kiddush Hashem is not limited when one is in public, but even B'Seser, we could have a concept of Kiddush Hashem. As the Gemara says, Yosef was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim B'Seser. And actually, this concept could be used to teach us to answer another question. Neither Yehuda nor Yosef were born with having yet been Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. The acts of Kiddush Hashem only came later in life. So the question is, why was Yehuda already called Yehuda from the moment that he was born, whereas Yosef, his letter was only added when he actually was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? Answer the Mefarshim. Because the names that the Shvatim were given to teach us lessons for life. The name of Yehuda that was given to Yehuda was to teach us, Klal Yisrael, the importance of being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Barabim. And therefore, from the moment that he was born, even though he wasn't yet Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, he was given the name Yehuda. Yosef, on the other hand, who, as we're learning, the point was that he was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but he was only Mekadosh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, so it was never publicized, certainly not from the moment of birth. Says Mar Yosef Mayhi, where do we find that Yosef was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'hi kayoim hazeh, V'yova abayis alasis melachtoi. Yosef came home, lasis melachtoi, Omer of Yochanan, Melamed, Sheshneim ledvar verin skavnu. Yosef came home with the intention of having relations with the wife of Potiphar. So Meralbach asks that we know that whenever we speak about tzaddikim like Yosef, if we could describe his actions for the toif, that he did the right thing, that he wasn't going to do something wrong, or the other way, we always identified that he was going to do a mitzvah, going to do the right thing. Why in our Gemara does the Gemara explain that Yosef was going to do the wrong thing? So the simple test that Meralbach gives is that there are a number of psukim that clearly indicate that Yosef had the intention of having relations with Eshes Potiphar. Lasis, Melachtoi, the word Melachtoi seems to say that he was going to have his Melach with her, V'yavei Habaisa, V'yavei Loshimbiya. Another teretz that Mefarshim gives is that if we aren't going to explain that Yosef had the intention of having relations with the Eshes Potiphar, we have a real question. And the question is that why was Yosef punished? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have punished him if he hadn't done anything wrong? So we have to explain that obviously he did something wrong. And yet another term that the Ein Yaakov gives is that it's not really bad what he did. It teaches us a tremendous lesson that here we have a boy who's 17 years old and a boy who's alone, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, with the Eshes Potiphar. Such a tremendous opportunity, such a tremendous nisayon to do an aveira, and yet he was able to overcome his yetzer hara. That speaks about strength. That speaks about greatness. It doesn't speak about the other way. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "V'yovei habaisa lasois melachtoi." Rav and Shmuel, we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Charama las melachtoi mamish. He came actually to do his work. He was a bookkeeper. The Targum says, V'chara melasa tzrach l'nichnas, he came to have relations with her. Vein ish mi anshe abayis, says the Gemara, ef shabayis godl, kebeisa shloisa rosha, is it possible to understand that there was such a large house, like the home of Potiphar, loy hoya bayish, and no one was in the home? Says the Gemara, tana ber v'shmol, oysi yoyim yoyim chagam hayo. That day was the day was a holiday. As the Medrash explains, the land of Egypt lives off the Nile, and when the Nile overflows, causing there should be an abundance of water throughout the country, it was considered a day of holiday. And therefore, v'holcha kulam lebeis avodah kacham shalem. They all went to the avodah zarah, v'hi amalehen. And the Eishes Potiphar said, chaylihi, that she's not well. And Amra, only Yom Shinitzkikli Yom Sukyam Zer. She knew that Yosef will not go to the base of Edzara, and this was the day that she felt that she could entice him to have relations with her. But this Pesev Abig Dilema, as Yosef was Chas V'Sholem about to do this terrible Avera, Basa D'Yukne Shal Ovav V'Nira Shalai B'Cholon. The image of his father came to him in the window. Why in the window? Because the pasuk says ain ish bebayis, there was nobody in the house, so it must have been that he was outside by the window. Omeloi, and he said to him, Yosef, asidin achecha shiyichtavu al avne eifed. All of the shvatim's names, as we've been learning, will be inscribed on avne eifed. Vata b'name, and you're one of those shvatim. Ritzaincha, do you chas v'sholem want shiyimachas shimcha b'b'nehem, that your name should be erased from that list, v'tikra roi zonis, and rather you should be called someone who is a companion of Avera, t'ksiv v'roi zonis yabarhoin, somebody who's a roi zonis loses his fortune. What's the fortune that he loses? Because the thing that a person has, the most valuable asset a person has, is his reputation. And the pasuk is saying that you will lose your reputation if you do this aveira, because you won't be on the avni shoychet of the avni shoyam. Others say that the avni shoyam were worth a tremendous amount, and you won't be able to be together with the rest of the shvatim on the avni shoyam. Miyad v'teisha v'esin kashtoi. Immediately he was replaced. Amr Rav Yochanan Mishum Rameya Sheshava Kashta Leisonai. His aver came back to its normal way. V'yufoiz Zerayi Yodav Noatz Yodav Bekarkoi. He put his hands into the ground. V'yotz V'shichva Zera Bein Tzparni Yodav. And that's how the Shichva Zera went out between his fingernails. Miyad Midei Av Yaakov Mi Gorim Loi Shichokek Al Avni Eifoid. What caused that Yosef's name should remain on the Avni Eifed? El Avi Yaakov, the fact that he saw Yaakov's name, Misham Roy Evan Yisrael, Misham Zocha V'Nasa Roya, and that's how he became the shepherd, the leader of Klal Yisrael. Shnema Roye Yisrael Azino Noik Ktzoin Yosef. So Mefarshim teach us from here we see that if Chas V'Sholem somebody wants to do an Avera, one of the ways that he could be prevented from doing an Avera is by thinking of his father, of his parents, of his father's image, his mother's image, his Rebbeim's image, and that is the way Yosef was saved from doing an Avera, so too he could be saved from doing an Avera. The Sefer Gaon Yaakov asks a question. One question that he asks is that there's nothing else that would stop Yosef from doing an Avera, just telling him that his name won't be on the Avnei Shoyim? He could say, doing this is a terrible Avera, which is against the Torah. So he explains, how did Yosef even come to Chas V'Sholem want to do such an Avera? So he explains that the same way that Eishes Potiphar saw that she will have descendants from Yosef, so too did Yosef see the same. And therefore, he thought that he wasn't doing anything wrong by having relations with her. But actually, he was making a terrible mistake, because he wasn't going to have the descendants coming from her. Actually, Yosef was going to marry her daughter Osnas, and that's how descendants would come from her, from Yosef. The Avnei Davonim, the Avnei Eifed, represent the Urim V'Tumim. The difference between what you see through this Astagninus versus what you see from Urim V'Tumim is the Urim V'Tumim are clear the answers and their message is clear. Whereas the message of astigninus, of sorcery, is very vague. And that's what the message that was given to Yosef was. If you want to rely on astigninus, you don't want the clear message. You're relying on this sorcery, so therefore you don't belong on the Urim V'Tumim. And now we understand, say to Mepharshim, what the Gemara says on Amud Aleph, that Yosef and his descendants do not have to worry about an ayin hara. Because the Pasuk says, we say it every day, Achri Levavchem refers to Minus, and Achri Nechem is Nus. Yosef, who was able to overcome Einechem, what he saw with his eyes, was therefore able not to be concerned about an ayin hara. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Hoya Roy Yosef, Lotzis Memenish Name Asa Shvatim. Really, 12 Shvatim should have come out of Yosef, Kederech Shiyotzim Yaakov Oviv. Just like 12 Shvatim emanated from Yaakov Avinu. Shenemer El Tadus Yaakov Yosef. Yosef and Yaakov were similar. El Shiyotzim Shechazer and Pain Sparni Yodav. As we're learning that a Shechazer came out from his fingers, and therefore he didn't have all those children. Fablikain Yotzim Binyamin Achiv. Binyamin, his brother, we find, had a very large family. And all of the sons that Binyamin had, the Kulan Nikra al-Shmai, were called because of Yosef. Shnema, and the Gemara will explain these names, Binyamin Bela, Becher v'Ashbel. Bela means Shenivl b'na Umas. Becher, because he was a Bechor. And the Mepharshim asked, he was a Bechor, Bechor l'imahaya. He was a Bechor before he was captured. So shouldn't the name Becher have been given before the name Bela? So Farshim explained what Binyamin meant to say was, first name was Bela. He was captured. Why was he captured? Because Becher, his father, treated him like a Bechor, even though his brothers, and that's what got his brothers upset. Ve'ashbel, Sheshava Kael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him a captive. What Binyamin was saying was that even though he was upset that his brother Yosef is in captivity, he recognized that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gera, Shagar Bachsanyas, he lived in foreign lands. Venaman, Shanam Beyosim, he was very pleasant. Ochi Varosh, Ochihu Varoshihu. Binyamin was saying, I not like my brothers, except Yosef as Roshi, as the head of the family. Mupim Vachupim, Hu Loi Ra Bachupasi, he never saw my chuppah. Vani Loi Reisi Bachupasoi, and I didn't see his chuppah. Says of Chaim Shmulevitz, from here we see how much somebody should partake in the simcha of someone else. Binyamin, when he was mentioning the names of his children, said the fact that his brother could not participate in his wedding, that's a real tsar. But Rav Chaim Konevsky explains, the tsar is not that I'm upset that my brother's not at my wedding. The tsar that Binyamin articulated was that he felt bad that his brother feels bad that his brother can't be at the wedding. Ve'erd shiyard l'bein umas olam, that he was taken between the goyim. Ikdam ve'erd shepanim damim levred, he was very beautiful. His face had a beautiful rosy complexion. Amrav chiba abba amrav yoichin. B'shosh amalei paro lo yosef, when paro said to yosef, o baladecha lo yorim ish es yodai. You will be now the mishnah l'melech, the second in command. Amr itztagnini paro. Eved shlocha rabbi besm kesef, an eved that was bought for 20 kesef, tem shleu aleinu, you're going to make him king over us. And then the Farshim explained what they were saying to Paro was, if his family had sold him because they needed the money, we could understand. But if they only sold him for 20 kesef, it must be because they wanted to get rid of him. So him, you're going to make a eved, melech, amlam genune malchus ani rabbi. I see royal characteristics in him. In other words, what he was saying to them, what they were say, the dialogue that Mepharshim explained between Paroi and his Avodim was as follows. Paroi said, they said, an Eved doesn't have the right temperament, doesn't have the right personality to be a king, doesn't have the right compassion. So Paroi said, I see that he has the right characteristics. Amloi imken yodei b'shem loshen. The rule was that the Melech Mitzrayim needed to know 70 languages. Bar Gavriel v'limda Shem l'Hashem. Gavriel taught him 70 languages. Loiv k'gamer. But he couldn't absorb the lesson. Ha'sif loy achs achs mishmai shakadosh baruch hu. That's when they added the letter hey from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. For long and he was able to learn. Shnemar edis b'yosef somay b'tseis al eret mitzrayim. Sfas lo yedati. I knew no languages. And then Eshma I began to understand. Ulamacher. And therefore the next day, kolishna dishtar parabadei, any language the paro spoke to him in, ahadalei, he was able to respond. Ishtoi ibu loshen kaidish. Yosef spoke to Paroi in Loshon HaKodesh, Lehavi Yodamai Avomer, and Paroi did not understand. And from here in the Mefarshim point out, we see that Loshon HaKodesh is not considered one of the 70 languages of the world, because we see that there were 70 other languages. Amalei Agmeri. So Paroi asked Yosef to teach it to him, like Gomer, but he couldn't absorb the lesson. Amalei Shtabalei Dlei Megalis. Please swear that you won't tell anybody that I don't know this language. And the first point out, not only that I don't know the language, that I didn't have the capacity to understand and learn the language. Ishtabalei. So Yosef swore to him. Ki amalei. When Yosef approached Paroi for permission to take Yaakov to be buried outside back to Yisrael, Ove Ashbianim Lamer. My father made me swear that I will take him to be buried in Yisrael. Amalei. Zilet shalash vosach. Go have it annulled. Amalei, v'chol namei adidach. If you want me to annul that shvur, I'll also annul the shvur that I told everybody that I won't tell anybody that you couldn't learn Loshon Kodesh. V'avgav d'loi nichlei. And therefore, even though Paroi wasn't happy about the situation, Amalei, he told Yosef, alei ukvar esavicha kashiriyaz biyacha. He had no choice but to accept Yosef's challenge.